Hey everyone, this is Stelly FD.
And this is Heaton Shah. And today on the Startup Chat, we're going to talk about this concept called parallel entrepreneurship.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life. And hopefully, while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit. We got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
Yeah, we want you to do your best.
Ooh, yes. And this question came from Stuart Brent. That's part of the Startup Chat group on Facebook. You can go to thestartupchat.com/FB for Facebook and join if you haven't yet. And we asked people to ask some of their questions. And one of the questions that Stuart had was, I'd love to hear you guys' thoughts on parallel entrepreneurism and if it can work for certain people and how to make it work, if at all possible. And I told you I wanted to talk about this, and you're like, okay, let's talk about this. Let's see if we can share some knowledge. So I'll ask you right away, because you, sir, are, I think, well known for running at least two companies at any given time, correct?
Yeah.
More or less. So you've done a ton of shit. And I, for at least a year, was running two companies at a time, but mostly was running one company at a time. So I've experienced in both. And you do too. So outright, if I ask you, Heaton, if I'm an entrepreneur, if I ask you, hey, can I run multiple startups at a time? Should I start multiple startups at a time? Is that a good idea, a bad idea? What's your general advice on this first reaction?
No, yes. Don't do it.
Why?
I think you're just adding more challenges to yourself. I think it takes a much different mindset to do more than one thing at the same time, especially if they're both businesses you're trying to start at the same time. And it takes, I don't want to say most people can't do it, because that's not true. I think anyone can do anything. It's a mindset. So I wouldn't absolutely say no. I would just say, well, why do you want to do it? What's your intent? A lot of folks want to do it because they're trying to hedge. What if one of them doesn't work? That's not the reason to do it at all. And that's probably the most common reason I hear, which is like, oh, you know, I'm hedging. Another reason I hear, which might be a little better, is very similar to my reason, at least originally, which was we had a consulting company and we wanted better revenue. We wanted more repeatable, more scalable things. We wanted to get into businesses that had higher multiples from a valuation standpoint. So we got into software. And at that time, SaaS and subscription businesses for SaaS software businesses were where you could get higher multiples. Even today, it's a higher multiple than a consulting business. For example, if a consulting business makes $1 million a year, it's probably only worth about $1 million, maybe a little bit more. If a SaaS business makes $1 million a year, it's probably worth at least a few million, 3, 4, 5 million by general valuation metrics. And so if you're going to put all this effort into making money, why not put effort into making money when into a business that's going to be worth more? So there are situations where it makes a ton of sense. But like what we did is we actually shut down the consulting company eventually. That doesn't mean, you know, you had to do that. And that still means we're still doing multiple software businesses right now, my co-founder and I. And a lot of it is situational. So, but in a typical forum, like if you're going to go like raise money for your company and things like that, even investors want to see that you're working on one thing. Otherwise, it's literally not even difficult to raise money. It's pretty much impossible.
So I love it. Beautiful that like we're looking at the reasons, right? The first reason why would somebody want to do this that you brought up was, you know, hedging your risk, saying, well, I don't know which startup is going to succeed, so I'd rather be involved in three different startups, right? That is a bad reason. You know, we can go into a lot of details on why, but a lot of times you're going to do poor performance. Hedging your risk, you know, and being an entrepreneur might not be having all your priorities at the right place at the right time. The second reason, you didn't really spell it out explicitly, but you said, you know, we were having a services business or consulting business, and we're launching a product business. That is, so that reason to run two businesses.
Didn't you do that?
Yes, we did the exact same thing. Exact same thing.
That's a common reason to have two at once, but you ended up shutting down the consulting company as soon as you were happy with where the other company was.
Exactly.
Correct?
Exactly. Right. So that.
Yeah, we did the same.
So that reason for running two businesses at a time is that one is funding or financing the other one, but you're really using the current business to invest into a business that you want to run long term that is better for whatever reasons you've decided. It's not that you want to just keep adding businesses. You're making the choice that the business we're running in today is not the business we want to run forever. So we're going to use the money and the resources and expertise we have in this business to start another one, right? So it's correct. kind of your financing vehicle for it. So that's a good reason. Another reason a lot of people will mention is the I'm just so creative. I get bored really quickly. I'm interested in multiple things. And how about Elon Musk? Right? So, or how about, there's like these examples, or Richard Branson, although I don't want to start that can with like the 100 million Virgin businesses, of which, you know, maybe not everyone is really that great, but
it's also more like a holding company.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So it's really one business, one brand that he's extending into many things.
Many things.
It's a consumer brand, right?
So, sure.
Yeah, I know you didn't want to dig into that one, but like that one's a little bit different. Yeah. I'd say Elon Musk clearly is more than one thing, but he's also merged a couple of them now, and he's got other people working on another one, whether he's involved too much or not.
Oh, no.
So, but interesting. I mean, these are the outliers.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
These are the outliers.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember, this is a funny thing. We talked in a prior episode about beliefs that entrepreneurs have. So I remember distinctly that when I came to the Valley 10 years ago, and I had this ambition for my startup that was way beyond my capabilities at the time and my execution at the time. So that company didn't succeed, but I didn't just want it to be successful. I wanted it to be, and I believed it would be the next Google, the next Apple, the next Facebook. It would change the world. And anytime I heard an expert like you and I talk on a podcast about, well, those are the outliers. You can't be Mark Zuckerberg, or you can't be this and that. And I know we didn't say these words, right? We just said,
no,
this
we didn't say those words.
Right? Yeah. But these are important. I remember saying, well, fuck you.
Wouldn't tell anyone they can't be those people. Yeah. That's not the intent.
But the thing that's important is that to know is that if you want to be one of these people, you need to know that you're banking on you're basically banking on something that has very, very little chances of success, right? You're saying, I'm trying to accomplish something that's just not just as hard or as difficult as being a successful entrepreneur, but I want to be 10 levels above that, a successful entrepreneur at multiple ventures at the same time. Right. So you're just making things a lot harder and you're decreasing your chances for success. But if you succeed, you know, you've got a multiple in terms of reward. But I don't know, like the thing that bothers me about people that go out, well, I'm just easily bored about things, or I have so many interests, and Elon Musk does this too, and he's really my idol or whatever. The thing that bothers me about this is that, I mean, being easily bored by something, I think a lot of people use this excuse for, I'm not consistent, I'm not disciplined, and I only want to work on things that are fun. Right? A lot of people that have this attitude really will explain it and excuse it away with, I'm just so creative, I need to be involved in multiple things, I get bored easily. I'm like, I want to tell people, fuck yourself when people tell me they get bored easily, because to me it means you haven't found... Like, things are going to get challenging. There's going to be lots of interesting things to work on as you go along. They're just not as fun and easy as they are in the beginning. But also, like, when I look at people that have successfully started and ran multiple businesses, a lot of these people doesn't seem like that was ever their intent. Or I don't feel like that's part of their identity. I've never heard Elon Musk say, well, I'm just easily bored and I'm so creative and I just love running multiple things. Anytime he talks about this, he's like, well, it's probably a really bad idea and it really sucks and it's very, very hard. And he felt, my interpretation of the situation, that it at multiple stages, he almost felt forced to go and do this because he felt so strongly that it needed to be done and nobody else was doing it, right? So it was like, it sucks, but I'm probably going to have to start this business and push it forward, versus I'm just so creative that I'm bored running this huge thing and I'm going to just start another thing and run that too. So I don't know, to me, people that say they need to run parallel ventures at the same time because they are bored or because they're so creative and they have so many ideas and they need to live all of them in parallel immediately, I think that's a bad reason to do that.
Yeah, I agree. It's hard to start from zero and say, I'm going to have more than one thing. It's not even hard. It's just like, how are you going to do that? Right? It takes a lot different discipline than what we're used to when you start one thing and you're maniacally focused on it. So yeah, parallel entrepreneurship is definitely a really interesting topic that I pretty much feel like if you haven't started something before and you think you're going to start more than one thing, you probably want to reconsider and really think about, like, how are you going to accomplish both of them and hit the meaningful goals in both of those businesses at the same time?
Yeah. Let's add two more things and then wrap this up with tips. Two more examples that I can think of top of my head, unless you have more examples. One is your current, well, we kind of mentioned this, but I don't know if this is a separate example, but I know people that are running a startup and it's not going, and they have this other idea for another startup. And what they're currently doing is not going as well, not occupying them as much. They get very excited about this new thing. So they will start a new startup. Basically, the main reason why they start a new startup and they want to run two things in parallel is that the current thing they're doing is not working, but they're not willing to just shut it down. And this is, I think, distinctly in a situation where the startup you're running right now is not going to be financing the next startup. The startup you're running right now is not making money, not working, and you want to start another thing, but you're just not willing to kill the other. Maybe that's hedging your bets. Maybe that fits into that example.
It totally fits into hedging. It's like, look, if your thing's not working, you got new bright ideas. I mean, I've invested in a lot of companies. I've talked to a lot of investors about things like this. At the end of the day, once the founder's done, they're done. The business is done. So if you're a founder and you have a company and you have another idea, and stop working on your current company or rethink the other idea and say, okay, I'm going to shelve that and actually work on my company that I already have. Because, you know, it's absurd. I mean, you owe it to your team members and other folks to be focused on what you're doing, even if it's not working, or shut it down. And I think that's a big challenge, especially like I often hear this from venture funded companies, like seed funded or something like that.
The other reason that I want to bring up is you know, sometimes you have things like company builders, right? It's like you have a team and the whole idea of that company is that they're going to be picking up new ideas, starting a prototype, putting together a team, raising the first round of funding, and then push that out as a separate venture that keeps hopefully growing and raising more money outside of that. So they're launching multiple startups, but it's their core business model. And they have usually a lot of expertise in starting things and raising money for things that they put
around that. That's like Expa or BetaWorks. I mean, we call that an accelerator, an incubator. I know that those are not what those things are, or a product studio or startup studio. There's a bunch of names for these things. So yeah, that is definitely what some founders have done and said, I want to do multiple things. I'm going to find teams of people. But the way those things are structured is the one person, like let's say Garrett Camp at Expa, he's not sitting there saying, I'm going to be CEO of all these things.
Yeah, he's not going right? Yeah,
like, I want to start these. I want a significant share in them. Maybe I don't even know if he's considered a founder in them necessarily. But his business, Expa, does have a ton of equity in these businesses, and they have CEOs that, you know, run them and go out and raise more money, and Expa ends up just being another investor in the long run. You know, I'm sure they add more value, of course, or they should, but they become, you know, another investor. They look very similar to an investor in the long run.
Yeah, it's core of your, like, that's the business you're starting, is a business that's going to be investing or starting businesses. It's very different. And usually, again, there's always an exception to everything we say, right? There's a counterexample to anything I can think of in life. But usually the success, the ones that do this successfully are people that have started successful businesses before. So they kind of know the formula. They've done it maybe once or twice. Now they've decided that they want to do this in a more formulaic process. It's not first-time entrepreneurs that go, I'm going to start a company builder and we're going to be launching 10 companies a year. That will most likely not work out as well. So, all right, let's wrap it up in tip time. And I'm going to give, three tips. One, if you haven't successfully started a company and brought it to some level of success that was satisfying to you, don't try to run multiple startups at once. There's two exceptions to this. One we said is, you know, you're running a certain business you don't like and you want that to fund the other business. We have an episode 54 of the Startup Chat, where we talk about how to run a services and consulting business and use that to launch a product business. So listen to that episode if you're in that situation. And the other situation where I think that of kind of doing two things at once in the entrepreneurial world makes sense is when you have a job and you want to start a side business till it hits a certain level of success. And that's kind of the same model. You have something today that you're not happy with, and you use that, though, to finance the next thing. And that's episode number 126, How to Start a Side Business. Listen to that episode. So those are my three tips for this one.
Since I'm the parallel entrepreneur currently on the call, I'm gonna describe how I do it and turn that into a tip. So I have a self-funded business that started in 05. It's called Crazy Egg, and we tried raising money for it and were unsuccessful. And then we had another idea that was very timely, and we raised money for it. And it turned into Kissmetrics. While we were working on Kissmetrics, my co-founder and I, we didn't spend any time at all on Crazy Egg. We essentially spent the equivalent of a hobby time. My wife, who's actually his sister, so I'm married to his sister, and he's my brother-in-law, and he's my co-founder. She was actually running Crazy Egg for that period of time, technically, in terms of who was working on it. She was also doing a lot of stuff for Kissmetrics, but she was parallel entrepreneuring then at that point for sure. And we spent all our energy on Kissmetrics for many years. And then over time, we came back to Crazy Egg once we sort of left Kissmetrics. And since then, we also started another company called Quicksprout. And right now I'm also working on a few other things, and so is Neil. And those other things have to do with our brands and stuff like that. And for us, it's been since the early days, we just love business. Like we just can't get away from the variety of it. The different types of businesses. He loves helping founders and businesses and small businesses, large businesses. I love helping startups and corporates as well sometimes. And the thing that we've learned about ourselves is that we get a lot of learnings, energy, fulfillment out of having that variety of learning about other businesses. And we wanted to create lives where we could do that. And so we both have. And they're in quite a bit different ways too. But the thing I'll say is, the parallel things I'm doing are more than two, and it just comes out of this attitude and this perspective that we learned by having Crazy Egg and yet being full-time on Kissmetrics, which is that software companies can be run really efficiently. They can be run with very few team members, and not everyone has to be fully dedicating 100% of the time to the business to be dedicated to the business. For example, these are all experiments. Like, this is the way we think about our businesses at this point. At Crazy Egg, the head of engineering owns significant percentage of the company. Neil and I own the vast majority, but he owns a significant percentage, and he only works 10 hours a week. And, you know, lately he's been working a little bit more, and we were talking about that the other day, and we found a way to make him go back to his 10 hours because that's what he's optimizing his life for. And as business partners to him, we cherish that for him. We admire that. We love that. We want to help him have the life he wants. And a lot of the other folks on the team is remote. They go spend like 3 hours a day doing, you know, surfing or mountain biking or gardening or whatever it is they're into. And they're still full time in the company. They get a normal salary, just like anyone else would that would work in a startup or whatever. They're not underpaid or anything like that. And it's just a big experiment for us because we've found a way to do it differently. And so, yeah, if there's anybody listening that really is into efficiency and doing that, happy to talk. My tip is just like, you don't have to do it how everyone else wants to, or everyone else thinks you should. Everyone else, meaning everyone else doing things. The only caveat is if you've raised money for your company, I would not recommend doing parallel entrepreneurship because you're not just beholden to yourself and your team. You're also beholden to investors that have put in money in your company for equity. And they are, I don't want to say investors are a priority, but they entrusted their money with you. And if you're not spending your time and energy on the thing they gave you money for, and it's not, and you know, it doesn't do well, it's on you, you know, it really is on you. So I can't stress that enough. Cause when we took investment, we took that very seriously. One of the reasons Neil and I did it despite having Crazy Egg was one, we couldn't raise money for Crazy Egg for a bunch of reasons. And, you know, in hindsight, that was a great thing because we still have it and it's great for us. But two, we wanted to learn what having investors felt like and what that really, you know, was all like, you know, when we could have an influx of capital and figure out what to do with it. So we learned. And I don't really, I know I've talked about this before. I don't have an opinion either way. I really love self-funded businesses, and I totally value what investors bring to the table when it comes to money and value to grow a business. So yeah, my tip is like, you know, if you really are insistent on doing it your way, by all means, like give it a shot.
Love it. Thank you so much. That's it from us.
Take care.